We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
James Wiseman will miss the next 11 Memphis games, 12 games total, because his mother accepted an impermissible benefit from Penny Hardaway in the summer of 2017. The best explanation for why it's 12 appears to be this. He's getting 9 based on the amount of money, which is what we had talked about all the time. The hope from the Memphis perspective was that, you know, the NCAA might be lenient because these are unusual circumstances. Typically, when a booster is providing an impermissible benefit to the family of a student athlete, it is to get that student athlete to enroll at the university for which he or she is a booster. This was more to get James Wiseman to win a state championship at East High School. And then, unless you're just being naive, the presence of James Wiseman at East High School helped Penny Hardaway get the job at Memphis when he got the job at Memphis. And unless you're also being naive, the financial commitment to the family back in the summer of 2017 probably had some influence on where James Wiseman decided to play college basketball. Again, you can argue it if you want to, but I'm not going to be stupid with you. So the 9 games are the 9 games. The NCAA decided that's what the money suggests it's going to be. That's what it's going to be.
Okay.
So then how do you get to 12? It seems to be punishment.
For playing him.
For playing him in those first 3 games.
Yeah. So those games will count.
They will count, it appears. But he will miss 3 extra games because Memphis defiantly played him against the NCAA's recommendations in the first 3 games of the season. So now we know, and it's interesting, because when I did a bit over the weekend with Richard Ransom on Local 24, he asked me, do you think Memphis standing up to fight, at least initially, alongside James Wiseman, do you think that will lead to other schools taking that approach? And I said, I believe we have to wait to see what the punishment is. Because if the punishment is less than what we think it otherwise would have been, then maybe, sure, other universities will say, let's at least threaten to fight, lawyer up, or advise our player to do it, and then maybe we can get a lighter sentence like Memphis got a lighter sentence. So maybe, but, I added, if the penalty is harsher than we think it otherwise would have been, and now we know it is harsher than what it otherwise would have been, then the message might be clear from the NCAA. Do not do what Memphis did. We told them in advance of their first game, you likely have an ineligible player. You should not play him. There's a way to go about this. You rule him ineligible now. You sit him down. You apply for reinstatement, and we'll work with you on that. And that is the message that the NCAA has sent to Memphis and everybody else that falls under the umbrella of a member institution. Do not defy us like Memphis. You can get your fan base riled up, and they'll stand behind you because they don't understand how our stuff works, but we'll punch you harder than we would have punched you otherwise. That's what just happened. Mm-hmm. That's the message the NCAA just sent. When we tell you you have an ineligible player, sit him down or her down. Otherwise, we'll tack on more to the penalty than what it otherwise would have been. That's what just happened. And so I'll just loop back to where we were last week when I said James Wiseman lawyering up. Nobody can stop him from doing what he's doing, although the university could have stepped in and said, hey, we strongly advise you not to do this. But ultimately, he's a private citizen. He can file a complaint against anybody he wants. But Memphis deciding to stand with him and support him, I told you it was risky. Because it is an act of defiance. And the NCAA doesn't usually respond well to that. What you hoped is that Memphis then pulling back and James pulling back would lead to, as Dr. Rudd said, a fair and equitable resolution. But I promise you this is not what he was hoping for. And now, according to Sports Illustrated, you could have bigger problems. Because here's something that Pat Forty has just posted at SI.com. While Memphis can breathe a sigh of relief that the 7'1" Wiseman will return to action this season, it must also come to grips with a situation it unilaterally complicated. Had the school followed NCAA protocol from the beginning, this situation would have been remedied earlier and with far less possibility of further penalties. And then he describes that Memphis went to court and stood behind James Wiseman and played him in those three games in defiance of the NCAA. And then Pat Forty writes the following. While that burst of defiant bravado played well with the fans and probably felt good in the moment, it may ultimately prove very costly for the school and Hardaway. Multiple sources familiar with NCAA enforcement procedures told Sports Illustrated that a major infractions case targeting Memphis is now likely.
Oh, God.
He continues, when Memphis played Wiseman, the NCAA issued an unusually stark and public comment about it via Twitter. And then he quotes a source saying that from the NCAA's perspective, this could, quote, fall under aggravating circumstances. Knowingly playing an ineligible player could give a committee on infractions panel the leverage to apply harsher sanctions. And he ends the column this way. Standing up to fight is one thing, but creating a fight that could prove bloody and costly is questionable leadership. And so that comes from Pat Forty, longtime national reporter who has worked for ESPN, Yahoo, and is now at Sports Illustrated. Again, his report, according to multiple sources, Memphis could now still be facing a major infractions case. And so it's like I said last week, and again this week, you guys could be mad at me all you wanted to when I said it was foolish to fight, because it's not a fight you can win. It's a fight you can get a bunch of people on a message board who don't know what they're talking about to get excited about. But it's not a fight you can win. And so I was pleased when Memphis finally drew back on that fight. But what we now know is just the start of the fight has proved costly. It will be something that takes James Wiseman out of three more games than he otherwise would have played. If they would have, we now know this, if they would have set him down before the first game of the season, he would have missed 9 games, ending with UAB, and been back on the court for the Tennessee game. He would have been back on the court for the conference opener. He would have been back on the court for every game on the conference schedule. Back on the court for the nationally televised Georgia game inside FedEx Forum. But now, because they played him in defiance of the NCAA, he's going to miss everything I just described. What would have been a 9-game suspension is now 12. And it causes him to miss the most interesting game on the schedule, the road game between nationally ranked Memphis and nationally ranked Tennessee. And I just got a text from a friend who's very, very smart, and he says that once the judge said that James Wiseman could play, that the school had to play him, and there's no way to punish the school for following a court order. With all due respect, that's just not true. The NCAA can do what it wants to do. And they're doing it right now. So, again, these conversations, you can get people to argue different points, and they might be rock solid in a normal legal setting. But when these things happen under the NCAA's umbrella, none of that stuff really matters. They can do what they want to do. They're doing it right now. So what Memphis should have done, and by the way, James didn't get the court order until before the second game. Don't ever forget that. That'll be glossed completely over. The NCAA told Memphis James Wiseman was likely ineligible before the first game, and they just ran him out there. There was no court order then, so you can't tell me Memphis didn't have a choice but to play James Wiseman. Not true. They had a choice. They didn't even announce that he had eligibility issues. When they knew he did, and then sent him out on the court. And so now this is the price you pay. Again, the breaking news, if you're just catching us, NCAA has announced James Wiseman is suspended for 12 games. The Alcorn State game will count as the first one. He'll miss the next 11. He will not return until January 12th against South Florida. The explanation for why it's 12 is that it's 9 based on the amount of money that was involved, $11,500 in, quote, moving expenses that doubles as an impermissible benefit. Mm-hmm. So how does it go up to 12? The NCAA is sending a clear message. We told you not to play him. We told you before the first game of the season, do not play him. You defied us. You played him 3 games before you decided to play nice. So that 9-game suspension that it would have been is now going to be a 12. If they would have handled this like I believe literally any other university would have handled it, James Wiseman would have missed the first 9 games of the season, most of them completely irrelevant, been back for the Tennessee game, been back for the first conference game, been back for the game with Georgia inside FedEx Forum. Now he misses all of that, and he misses 3 more games than he otherwise would have missed. So there's no more arguing about it. We've spent 2 weeks talking about what's smart, what's dumb, what's right, what's wrong. No more arguing. We now know whether it was smart or dumb, whether it was wise or unwise, whether it was the right thing or the wrong thing to do. I know nobody wanted to hear it. I'm sorry I had to be the one to tell you. But the fight that I insisted should have been avoided has now cost James Wiseman more games than he otherwise would have missed. It'll now cost him the Tennessee game that he otherwise would have played in. It'll cost him the conference opener that he otherwise would have played in. It'll cost him the Georgia game that he otherwise would have played in. The NCAA undeniably has sent a message here. Memphis, next time we tell you what to do, do it. Everybody else in the country, if we tell you what to do, do it. And according to Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, Memphis could still face a major infractions case for knowingly playing an ineligible player in defiance of the NCAA. In fact, he says, according to multiple sources, that that is now a, quote, likely scenario.
Can you explain, like, what that might mean a little bit more?
Okay, so it would be a level one violation, knowingly playing an ineligible player, because, and I had assumed, and honestly had been told as well, but assumed that once Wiseman withdraws the lawsuit and Memphis does what the NCAA wanted it to do, which is rule him ineligible and apply for reinstatement, that the understanding between the two sides would be, all right, we're working with you. Sorry we didn't do it last week, but we're working with you now. Let's resolve this the way we otherwise would have resolved.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA has decided, no, you did what you did. And you'll pay a price for that.
So there was never really any, you know, coming together on this whole thing.
They quite clearly did not come together
sure.
on this thing.
Okay.
There was, just trust me when I tell you, this is not what Memphis expected. A 12-game suspension and possibility of a major infractions case is not what Memphis expected.
Right.
But if the NCAA wants to open one, they clearly can. Because Memphis did knowingly play an ineligible player. That's a level one violation. So just because Memphis tried to resolve it, this is what the NCAA is telling you. just because Memphis, after three games, decided to do this the way you're supposed to do it, doesn't mean that they didn't initially do it the way you're not supposed to do it. They played an ineligible player. And now Pat Forty is reporting that the NCAA is likely to open a major infractions case against Memphis, level one violation. What could that mean? Anything. It could mean postseason ban. It could mean scholarship reductions. It could mean recruiting restrictions. It could mean a suspension for the head coach. Basically anything in Memphis's, in the NCAA's toolbox is available when it comes to punishing a program after what amounts to a guilty verdict in a major infractions case. Remember when I came on the Monday after the Friday that all of this went down? And I said I'd spent the weekend talking to college administrators, college coaches, compliance people, and I couldn't find one person who would tell me that they would handle it the way Memphis is handling it, or that they didn't think it was absolutely bonkers. Well, now you know why. Now you've got a longer suspension than it otherwise would have been. He's going to miss more important games than he otherwise would have missed. And now, according to Sports Illustrated, you'll have a major infractions case launched and sent your way. Rough, rough stuff. But also, be mad at the NCAA if you want to. I'm not going to tell you how to feel about the NCAA. I don't like them either. But this is self-inflicted. They did this. They had the information in advance of the first game that the NCAA had labeled James Wiseman as likely ineligible for exactly these reasons. And they decided to play him anyway. Now they're paying the price for it.
A lot of people are obviously asking about an appeal. Will Memphis appeal? Do you think that that would make any difference at this point because they went against, you know, what they were initially told?
I don't know what the actual recourse is, if there is a path to an appeal, but good luck. They just slapped you pretty good, and they did it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
They did it to prove a point. They seem uninterested in whatever public relations battle they might lose. Because I'm not sure that this is popular. Certainly in Memphis it's not, but even around the country.
Oh, you're already seeing tweets from major people.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the message they wanted to send is the message that they just sent. And the message is this. When we tell you, you have an ineligible player, you need to rule him ineligible and not put him on the court. We told you on the day of your first game you had an ineligible player. And you played him anyway. That's a no-no. So this is what you get. Breaking news. Right at the top of the hour, James Wiseman has been suspended 12 games by the NCAA because his mother accepted an impermissible benefit from a Memphis booster, Penny Hardaway, back in the summer of 2017. It's 9 games because of the amount of money involved. And they've tagged on an extra 3 because Memphis defiantly... in defiance of the NCAA, played James Wiseman in the first 3 games of the season. So by standing up and fighting and being defiant, it got the fan base all riled up, got a lot of retweets, made for great message board fodder, but it cost James Wiseman, and it cost the University of Memphis. The school has announced it's going to appeal, and I'm not going to be in the business of predicting what the appeal process will look like. Who knows? The NCAA can do whatever they want to do. Hopefully they do reduce it. I want to see James Wiseman play basketball as much as anybody else. But the message the NCAA has sent today is clear. When we tell you that you have an ineligible player, you do what every other school is supposed to do. You rule him ineligible, then you apply for reinstatement. But under no circumstances do you just run him out on the court like they did on the opening night of the regular season. That's the other thing that people keep bringing up about the court order. That didn't come until before the second game of the season. Memphis played James Wiseman in the first game of the season in total defiance of the NCAA and then played him 2 more times. And I know that a judge provided a temporary restraining order. That doesn't make you have to put James Wiseman on the court. A judge cannot make Penny Hardaway starting lineup for him. I told you on the Monday after that Friday, no other school that I know of would have handled it this way. When Kentucky had an ineligible player, Enes Kanter, they set him down. At Louisville, Brian Bowen set him down. At Kansas, Billy Preston set him down. When North Carolina ran into issues with P.J. Hairston, set him down. When Syracuse ran into issues with Fab Mello, set him down. Memphis did the opposite, and now Memphis is paying for it. People can spin it a million different directions if they want to. That is what just happened. 5353776. I said I'd take your calls. We'll start with David and Bartlett. David, it's Gary. What's up?
Hey, I agree with the part that they did the wrong thing, but do you think that had Memphis gone and said, done what we're supposed to on that Friday night, do you think the NCAA would have been like, you know, Memphis did the right thing here. We're gonna take it a little easier on them. What do you think the difference in 12-game suspension would be?
Okay, here's, I think, the best way to answer that. If Memphis would have done what it was supposed to do and what other schools always do, it would have probably, what we now know, is been a 9-game suspension based on the amount of money. Then you could have appealed that and tried to get it sliced to some degree. But because Memphis played him in those first 3 games before doing what it was supposed to do, the suspension is now 12 instead of 9. And it has also, according to Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, opened up the school to a possible, and in fact he says likely, major infractions case. Because even though Memphis ultimately set James Wiseman down and ruled him ineligible for 3 games in defiance of the NCAA, the University of Memphis knowingly played an ineligible player. And now, according to Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated, they will likely have to face a major infractions case because of it. Let's go to Dwayne in Midtown. Dwayne, what's up?
Hey, man, I was one of those cats who was saying, hey, sit him down, don't let him play, because it just didn't make sense. But I say this here, if they, the 12-game suspension, whatever, sit them down, you know, hopefully you can win enough games to get into the NCAA. But if they come after the school anymore, which seems like they will from what you said, they literally changed my mind. Because at some point, and I know I'm not one of those fans, you know, who's going to just stand up and say, rah, 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 fight, fight, fight. But at some point, what difference does it make? And I hang up this because, I mean, you can't let people, you can't just become a punk all your life. At some point, you have to stand up.
I understand. And I understand the frustration. I promise you. I understand why you guys are upset. And on some level, it's understandable to be upset. Because the situation here, though I don't think it is the way so many people have tried to describe it, I do recognize and can acknowledge that it's an unusual set of circumstances. The way Penny was labeled a booster, the fact that a booster did this, but it wasn't really at the time to get him to go to the University of Memphis. It was to get him to go to East High School. Penny wasn't breaking rules then to go to a Final Four. He was breaking rules then to win a TSSAA title. That's the truth. So I understand it's unusual circumstances. And when Dwayne says you can't just be a punk your whole life, you have to fight. I get it. But this is the thing that I've been talking about for 2 weeks now. Just because you hate the rules and I hate the rules doesn't mean they're not rules. And when you are an NCAA member institution, not only are you signing up to follow the rules, you have a role in creating the rules. As Dan Wolkin from USA Today has tweeted, fans can think the rules are stupid. Writers can think the rules are stupid. I think the rules are stupid and wrong. If you put me in charge tomorrow and gave me all the power, I would change all the rules tomorrow. But guess who doesn't think the rules are stupid or unnecessary or wrong? The university presidents that create them and keep them in place. And so you can't break the rules and then say, well, we think the rules are dumb. I mean, you can. And you can be defiant. And you can release all your little statements. But here we are. What happened, happened. Let's go to Eddie, downtown. Eddie, it's Gary. What's up?
Hey, Gary, man. My only beef with this is it seems like people are basking in the glory of Memphis getting caught up. But when the other schools got caught up this summer, it was more of a people was backing those guys. Like when it was reported that they received money, everybody was against the NCAA then. But then when Memphis got caught up, I'm not saying Penny didn't give the $11,000. But now it seems like everybody's basking in the glory of they got the NCAA side now. If they used to have the player side this summer, now they got the NCAA side now. That's the part that bothers me. And if it was other schools, I don't think this would even came up.
Well, Eddie, let me address that because I think it's important to clear this up because I actually got somebody sending me a direct message. And the question is, it's not even really a question, it's a statement. And this is what I mean when I say that people are tweeting and talking out of emotion. And by the way, it's not just fans. I see people whose job it is to know this stuff who just don't know it, who just don't understand it. Actually get paid to talk about it and paid to write about it. They don't know what they're talking about. So I got a message from somebody, and it was like, what about LSU? What about Auburn? What about Arizona? Sean Miller's still coaching. Everybody's still playing. Same thing at LSU. Will Wade's still coaching. Everybody's still playing. But then they come hammer Memphis like this. How is that right? Well, the situations are not comparable. They're not the same. The NCAA has never told Arizona, we believe you have an ineligible player on your roster right now. They've never told LSU that either. They did make it clear to Auburn. And guess what Auburn did? Immediately set down Austin Wiley and set down Danjel Purifoy. And they both missed an entire season. A notice of allegations will someday presumably arrive at Arizona. And then they will have a major infractions case to deal with. Same thing at Auburn. And I would assume, but not certain, but I would assume same thing at LSU. That's not what happened. Those situations are not like this situation. This situation is the NCAA was examining the amateur status and eligibility in general of the number one prospect in America who made an unusual move from Nashville to Memphis before his junior year of high school. The NCAA was always going to look into what happened there, especially when Penny Hardaway got the job at Memphis and James Wiseman followed him to Memphis. That was always going to be looked into. So the NCAA looked into it in conjunction with the University of Memphis. And what nobody disputes, nobody, is that Penny Hardaway provided $11,500 for, quote, moving expenses. Once the NCAA got a hold of that information, it was an impermissible benefit. And what you do when everybody agrees that a violation has occurred, what you then do is remove the player from competition. That's what Kentucky did with Enes Kanter. It's what Louisville did with Brian Bowen. It's what Kansas did with Billy Preston and Silvio D'Souza, and way back when, Josh Selby. I told you a million times, what happened here is not unique to Memphis in the sense of the NCAA has said, we believe you got an issue here with the eligibility of a player. I know that you found real emotion in tricking yourself into thinking this was just the NCAA out to get Memphis. But I gave you example after example of it happening at Kentucky, happening at Louisville, happening at North Carolina, happening at Syracuse, happening at Kansas. Five of the biggest 15 programs in America have all dealt with similar situations where something came up and it became clear to either the university's compliance department or the NCAA or both that there's an eligibility issue. And in every one of the situations I just described, plus Auburn with Danjel Purifoy and Austin Wiley, the school did what the NCAA advises you to do. They set the player down. You think Bruce Pearl liked losing two key players from his team right before the start of the season because of stuff that happened that literally had nothing to do with him? You think he thought it was stupid and wrong? Of course he did. But it doesn't matter. The rules are the rules. At that point, you set them down, so that's what they had to do. You think Bill Self didn't think it was stupid that he never got to coach Billy Preston because of a vehicle that came from an agent that he didn't know nothing about? Of course he did. But the rules are the rules, so they set him down. Do you not think in a world where presumably Nike is funneling money to all sorts of families to shape where they pick their colleges, you don't think Rick Pitino thought it was crazy that because of something that happened that he knew nothing about and had nothing to do with, he would never get to coach Brian Bowen and ultimately lose his job? I promise you he thought it was wrong. I promise you he thought it was ridiculous. The rules are the rules. So again, if we want to change the rules, write letters to your university presidents. That's the way you'll get that done, if you ever get it done. But as long as the rules are in place, the system is set up where the schools under the NCAA umbrella are required to follow them. Memphis didn't. And now Memphis is paying the price. Let's go to Trent. Trent, what's up?
GP, before the Oregon game, they interviewed Penny. And when he said the words, like, I feel that we're right. To me, that was total arrogance on his part. I blame him, the AD, the president, for what they've done. I believe now he lost two recruits in less than a week's time. Number one recruiting class next year, not happening. Five-star recruits coming to Memphis now, not happening. They're already using it against him. Do not go to Memphis because the hammer is coming down the University of Memphis. Don't go there and play. Tournament this year, what, 11 seed, 12 seed? That's about it. Anything better than that? Less than two seasons, already made with Penny Hardaway, we'll get the hammer dropped on them. And for what reason? Arrogance.
Trent, I appreciate the phone call. I will say that I thought it was striking as well when Penny said what he said on national television. It's one thing to say we support our players' right to file a complaint against the NCAA and the University of Memphis. But ultimately, everything that's happening now is happening above my head. There's a way to answer that question without saying we think we're right, because the NCAA had already told you we know you're wrong. And so I don't know if that added on to anything. There's no evidence that it did, but it did strike me as not the thing I would have said in that situation. And then DJ Jeffries yesterday calling the NCAA petty. I don't think that enhanced anything, but it did strike me as something that I don't think I would have wanted my players to say while we were still waiting on the punishment. And I will say one thing. He said that now the hammer is going to drop on Memphis. And I don't know if that's true or not. But what I do know is that a reputable reporter for a reputable media outlet, Pat Forty at Sports Illustrated, is reporting that Memphis will now likely deal with a major infractions case because it knowingly played an ineligible player. So once that's out there, and it's out there, whether it ever happens or not, the possibility that it could happen undeniably will impact recruiting. Because every coach you recruit against going forward is going to say, be careful going to Memphis. I don't know if you saw it, but it was in Sports Illustrated that they're likely going to deal with a major infractions case because of how they handled the James Wiseman situation. So, like, hey, Penny's great. FedEx Forum's amazing. But just, do you want to play in the NCAA tournament when you're in college? Oh, yes, sir, coach. Okay, just, you don't know if Memphis is going to get a postseason ban, so just be careful about that. That's going to be used against them until this thing is resolved. It is why I said from the jump it was foolish to fight. What I hoped is that once they pulled the fight back, that the NCAA would say, okay, let's settle this and be done. Instead, what the NCAA has done is said, nope, you were smart to finally pull it back and do this the right way. But you initially handling this the way we tell you not to do it, there's a price to pay for that. More games on the suspension than otherwise would have been. And now here's a major infractions case that you're going to have to deal with as well. Next time, do what we told you to do. Next time, do what Kentucky did when we told them to do it. What Louisville did. What Kansas did. What Syracuse did. What North Carolina did. All of these schools, when we told them they had issues, or they told us they had issues, they handled it a certain way. You didn't, and now you're in trouble. I don't know if Memphis will ever deal with a major infractions case based on this, but I do know that Sports Illustrated is reporting that it's likely. And once that report's out there, it's as good as it's definitely happened. Because if you're recruiting against Ole Miss, they're going to bring it up. If you're recruiting against Tennessee, they're going to bring it up. If you're recruiting against Kentucky, they're going to bring it up. And so that was a wonderful one-week fight with the NCAA that got the fan base all riled up. Well, it was costly. Costly in terms of the games James Wiseman is going to miss, and possibly costly in terms of what Memphis will have to deal with going forward. The NCAA announced James Wiseman will serve a 12-game suspension, starting with the Alcorn State game this past weekend, because his mother accepted impermissible benefits while he was in high school from current Memphis coach Penny Hardaway. They made it 12 instead of 9 because Memphis defiantly played James Wiseman in the first three games of the year. And according to Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, the school is now likely facing a major infractions case for knowingly playing an ineligible player. So now we have the answer. Was the fight smart or was the fight dumb? There's only one answer to it now. Dumb, 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 and costly, costly, costly. Jeff Calkins joins me. He's an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He's here every day after 5. He's here right now. Jeff, I'll just open it up to you, your general thoughts. The news broke an hour ago. James Wiseman's going to miss 12 games. And according to Sports Illustrated, Memphis could be facing a major infractions case.
Well, I'd say a couple things. Memphis in 2008 got whacked by the NCAA, cooperated fully, prostrated itself before the NCAA, and had a Final Four appearance stripped for, even though it did nothing wrong, nothing knowingly wrong. Missouri just recently had an academic fraud case, was cited for exemplary cooperation by the NCAA, got absolutely crushed. To me, the assumption that we never know what the road not taken would have looked like. The assumption that they would have gotten 9 games, the substance that they would have got done reasonable with the University of Memphis, the assumption that they even would have decided anything by now, I think is fanciful. I don't see any reason, certainly based on the history of the University of Memphis, or in the general rationality of the NCAA, to say that is the way it would have played out. Maybe they only have any decision at all because they filed a lawsuit. We just don't know. You don't know. And I the other thing is that the Pat Forty story is freaking astonishing. The idea is what Pat Forty is saying is because you dared defy the NCAA, they are going to launch a major investigation into you.
No. That's not what he's reporting. He's reporting that not that they're going to launch a major investigation, but that they could create a major infractions case against the University of Memphis based on nothing more than what we know just happened, which is they knowingly played an ineligible player in the first three games of the season.
Right. To me, what it smacks of is it is like China. You know, if you don't prostrate yourself, you will get crushed like Memphis did before and like Missouri just did. If you fight, you might be like North Carolina and get nothing. But if you fight and we can, we will screw you as hard as we can. To me, it speaks to maybe they should have anticipated every bit of this, right? But you're suggesting that they would have gotten 9 games. We don't even know they would have had any decisions.
Well,
the truth matters, they didn't come out with a decision today except for extraordinary pressure by the University of Memphis to get a decision today.
Well, according
so you look at other cases and you say, well, that happened there. Yeah, well, I look at the Duke case and I don't see Duke get whacked like Memphis gets whacked. I look at the other cases. So I don't think just because they do this in one situation, they do it to Memphis at all. I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that's true.
Well, according to the University of Memphis's official statement on the matter, James Wiseman is sitting 9 games because of the infraction. So what they are saying is that the penalty based on the infraction is 9 games and would have been 9 games. And now it's 12.
They didn't say would have been. They didn't. And honestly, if you talk to people at Memphis, they think they only got the NCAA to do what they've done because they sued them.
Well, at what point, and listen, I like everybody over there, and I'm friendly with everybody over there, but at what point do we stop believing what they think is going to happen, considering how wrong they are all the time?
I don't know what that means. All I'm saying is that how do you know what would have happened?
According to Memphis, right here, they're saying that the punishment...
That's what the penalty that they meted out, that is how they justified the penalty today as they meted it out, yes.
Okay, literally...
That is how they justified the penalty as they meted it out today.
Literally everybody talking in advance of this happening, before Memphis decided to fight, or right after Memphis decided to fight, would look at the way the NCAA is structured, the punishment phase, and they would say, based on the amount of money, this should be a 9-game suspension. And what Memphis has announced today is that based on the infraction, it's a 9-game suspension. I don't know how you can assume anything other than it would have been a 9-game suspension if they would have just set him down at the beginning.
And it might well have been a 9-game suspension. What I'm telling you is that James Wiseman and the University of Memphis didn't trust the NCAA. And I will tell you that I think there's ample reason in the history of the University of Memphis and in the NCAA to not and in the NCAA to how they do things to not trust the NCAA.
I hear you. Where you and I are on the same page is what happened in 2008 was wrong. I've said that consistently for more than a decade.
And I think it framed what happened here. I don't think they can be separated. I think it framed what happened here. And I think it suggests that, I really do believe this, that they think that what happened with Chase Young was inspired by what happened in Memphis. Like, Chase Young partly got sped along and got his appeal reduced and everything else because the NCAA says, oh, look, we have two people here. One cooperated and one didn't. We're going to just rush Chase Young along and cut his thing in half in order to show Memphis. And listen, Memphis walked into that trap. That's clearly right. But what's weird to me is that if there's any aha about this, it's basically saying, yep, the NCAA is absolutely as vindictive as we told you they would be, and you should have known that, which is fair enough, but it's basically accepting that the NCAA is this vindictive and accepting that as the way the world should be, which I think is just bizarre.
Well,
then you go back to look at the weird thing is you go back to even the way the punishment was unveiled, which is for recruiting inducement. Like, if you want to call them illegal benefits, you can call them illegal benefits. They weren't recruiting inducements. He wasn't even the freaking coach at the University of Memphis when the 11th, unless there's money that I'm not aware of. They almost by definition can't be recruiting inducements when he wasn't the coach at Memphis when he played the $11,500. How in God's name can that be recruiting inducements? That's according to the NCAA's own statement. How is that recruiting inducements?
I can tell you how I believe they would answer that, and I don't know that I agree with it, but here's the way they would probably answer that. Penny Hardaway, regardless of his employment status at the time, used money to create a relationship with a recruitable student athlete and ultimately benefited from that relationship, evidence being that he enrolled them once he got the job at the University of Memphis. Therefore, it is, for our purposes, a recruiting inducement. I'm sure.
I don't know that that is then a recruiting inducement. You know, basically what you're saying is you're backdating a recruiting inducement, right? I'm inducing you to come to a place when I'm not even at that place. But now look at, you ended up at that place, and so that's where the relationship is, so we're therefore going to call that a recruiting inducement. I think that's, I clearly, like, I can, I, I've fought all along that by the rules, this was a violation. Like, I do think it's a violation, to be clear. I think it's an illegal benefit. I think that to call this a recruiting inducement is strains English language. Like, it, you're inducing someone to do something when, like, when you're not even in a position to induce them to do something.
All right,
like,
let me ask you this question, and I agree with you. If I were the NCAA, I don't think I would have used that term because this is such an unusual situation. But let me ask you this. Do you think the $11,500 helped Penny Hardaway recruit James Wiseman?
Oh, there's no question. I think it did, yes. Do I think once he paid that money, and I think it not only did it, what you just said is true. It helped form the relationship that he subsequently capitalized on. And not only that, just imagine he tried to go to Kentucky at that point. Like, we talked about Kentucky like it was serious, right? like it was a serious option when he was recruiting James Wiseman. Literally, it was a year ago today that James Wiseman was sitting on the stage and pulling out a unicorn because he went to his room and tried to decide, do I want the Kentucky unicorn or I want the Memphis unicorn? Well, now that we know everything went into that, it's preposterous to think. I mean, at the time, we thought it was silly, too, let's be honest. But it's preposterous to think that it is not, did not play a role. I think it's weird to call that an inducement. And maybe that's just a point of language. I think it points out how awkward this whole thing is. And I think it's very clearly, I think your point here is right, by the way, about the university being wrong. I think they were, when they withdrew the lawsuit and put the language in their statement saying that the NCAA has acknowledged that this is unique and different, blah, 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 I think they were signaling that they thought they would get a punishment that recognized it, this was different and unique. In other words, something less and something manageable. And they very clearly didn't get that. So I think you're right. I do not think they expected this when they withdrew the lawsuit. I think that's very clear. Now, obviously, they still are going to appeal.
Sure.
But I think it's I'm pessimistic about the appeal because if you grant the same thing that you did to Chase Young, which was to cut his punishment in half, honestly, if you could cut James Wiseman's punishment in half here, I think it would be totally reasonable. That way you're back for the Tennessee game. Honestly, and that's honestly good for everybody, too. You're back for the Tennessee game. You're back for the Georgia game, which is on national TV, et cetera. And so that would not be, to me, an unhappy result here, if that's the way it goes. But if they are in this message-sending framework right now, I think I'm a little bit pessimistic that they're going to whack the sucker in half, aren't you?
Yes, I'm pessimistic, but that is what I would hope.
Don't miss the Gary Parish Show tomorrow at 4 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jason and John.
Kendrick Perkins.
What do you think on the other side of that team they beat, the Utah Jazz the other night?
You know, Mike Conley the defensive player, Rudy Gobert.
Big Perk, I like the way you say Gobert. Like, you don't even play with that French pronunciation. You just go straight in on Gobert.
The Jason and John Show, weekdays 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.